Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. It's your future. Let Zurich help you protect it. Talk to us today about life and serious illness cover.
Doubts are growing this evening around a plan for a Gaza ceasefire and hostage release deal outlined by US President Joe Biden on Friday. Mr. Biden presented what he labelled an Israeli three-phase plan that would end the bloody conflict, free all hostages, and lead to the reconstruction of the devastated Palestinian territory without Hamas in power. However, heavy fighting has raged in Gaza for a third day since the White House address. Joe Biden has said that Israel had offered a new roadmap towards a permanent peace deal in Gaza and urged Hamas to accept the deal. Now, in a few minutes, I'll speak to Gareth Brown, who is a journalist with The Economist based in the Middle East. But before we came on air, I spoke to Gershom Baskin, who is a negotiator and Middle East director with the International Communities Organization. And I began by asking him what this so-called roadmap to peace looks like.
First of all, I wouldn't call it a roadmap to permanent peace. We're talking about an end to the war and a ceasefire. That's a far distance between there and peace. But right now what we have is the Biden speech, which was made very intelligently as the Sabbath entered in Israel, so the right-wing religious people couldn't respond immediately to it. But it seems that Biden added extra content to what is understood to be initially an Israeli proposal. And as such, the Israeli government now is locked in debate and arguments with people telling Mr. Netanyahu within his coalition that if he moves forward with this deal, they're going to bolt the coalition. The question now is whether or not Netanyahu is going to have the resolve to stand behind the agreement that he put forth to President Biden. And of course, we have to wait and see if Hamas is going to say yes and move forward with it as well. These are still unknowns, but this is the most clearest, the best way of bringing an end to this war and bring the Israeli hostages home that we've seen in 8 months now. And we really can't lose this opportunity.
Is there anything significantly new in this proposal than what has been on the table for the last 8 months?
Well, what is new is that the Americans have come out and put it on the table with great detail, including the fact that even as negotiations commence in moving toward a permanent ceasefire, according to President Biden, Israel will be obligated to keep the ceasefire even past the first 6 weeks when the initial humanitarian hostage release will be done and Palestinian prisoners will be released. This is based on what was initially presented in Paris a couple of months ago, where the head of the CIA initiated a process that included the Egyptians, the Qataris, the Israelis, and then, of course, Hamas. And it was a comprehensive three-stage process back then that was reiterated by President Biden, which does lead to an end to the war. Now, the tragic reality is that because of the government of Israel's refusal to deal with a political alternative to Hamas in Gaza, when this war ends, according to the current talks, Hamas will still be in control of Gaza. And this is a huge error on the part of Israel and on the part of Netanyahu. But that's, of course, because he refuses to deal with the probability and the need for a two-state solution.
And if Hamas was to survive as an entity but no longer be in power in Gaza, is that something that both sides can accept?
Well, I think that Hamas needs to be converted into a Palestinian problem. The Palestinians need to contend with how to deal with an armed militia within their midst. The situation of having in Palestine a situation like Lebanon, where there's a legitimate Lebanese government, but the country is really controlled by Hezbollah and its military forces, unacceptable. So the Palestinians really need to figure out how they can have a legitimate political Islamic political party in their government, a national unity government, which is not armed and is not a militia.
What of Benjamin Netanyahu? Obviously, if he accepts the deal, perhaps political questions will be raised of him in Israel, will there not?
Well, it's about time, I think. I can't see this going through with his government, his initial core coalition of 64 members, including Smotrich and Ben-Gvir, staying in the coalition. If they bolt Gantz's party and probably Lapid and the opposition would back the deal so that Netanyahu would retain a majority within the parliament. But I can't see the opposition giving this political net for Netanyahu without an agreement on new elections and setting a date for those elections. So hopefully this agreement will not only be implemented and we'll see an end to the war, but we will also have a date for new elections in Israel. And then hopefully the people of Israel will be wise enough to hold Netanyahu accountable for the disasters that we faced both on October 7th and everything that led up to it.
What should the international community, apart from the US, do during this proposed three-phase deal for a ceasefire in Gaza?
Well, they should be pressuring as much as they can on both sides to support the deal. I know it's difficult for most of the international community to put any kind of pressure on Hamas, but the movement should be to put more pressure on Egypt and Qatar to push Hamas to accept the deal. And of course, Israel needs to be told by the international community that this war cannot continue, that Israel faces not only the actions in the International Court of Justice in The Hague and the International Criminal Court, but possible sanctions coming from the international community, either at a bi-national level or at an international level through the United Nations. This needs to be made very clear to the government of Israel that the continuation of the war is no longer acceptable. There is no military victory over Hamas. There can only be a political victory over Hamas.
The White House is saying that it has every expectation Israel will accept this proposal. What should we read into pronouncements such as those?
I'm not sure, because the Americans could have put an end to the war a long time ago by simply telling Israel that it's not going to send any more bombs to drop on Gaza, and then Israel would have to make a calculated calculation of how many weapons it needs to stockpile in case something other develops in the Middle East. I don't think that the United States will do that, certainly not during election season, certainly not when Biden is down in the polls. But the Americans have leverage over Israel, and they need to, behind closed doors, in discreet discussions, let Israel know that the continuation of the war is not acceptable to the United States anymore. That the United States expects Israel to say yes to this proposal and move forward. Of course, the United States will continue to support the defense of Israel and the right to defend itself. But still, this war really needs to end.
What happens next in relation to this deal? When should we have word on whether or not it's acceptable?
I think that it has to be a matter of days before both sides agree to resume negotiations through the Egyptians and the Qataris. There needs to be a high level, the highest level Israeli negotiating team going probably to Doha in Qatar. And Hamas leadership is already there, and we need to see the Egyptians along, and hopefully the head of the CIA or his people will be there to help out. We need to see these agreements turned into something implementable on the ground, in the ceasefire beginning, honored by both sides, and the exchange of hostages for Palestinian prisoners. This is the movement that we need to see happen. Israel relocating its forces out of the populated areas, as it said in the first stage, and the process needs to begin.
And obviously, all eyes on this process, all eyes on the political diplomacy, if you will, at the moment, but still 2.3 million people facing daily inhumane and intolerable life conditions in Gaza. We see the scenes on our screens every night. Is there a sense, perhaps, that we might lose focus on that, given the all eyes on the diplomacy at present?
I don't think so. I think that once the fighting stops, then we'll actually be able to deal concretely with the need to provide immediate humanitarian aid. There is, within the agreement that President Biden spoke about, an increase in the number of humanitarian aid trucks going into Gaza that needs to be monitored and implemented, whether by land, by sea, or by air. We need to get aid to these people. Their needs, they talked about temporary housing being built rapidly for these people. The Palestinians need to come up with some kind of acceptable temporary government taking over Gaza from Hamas, so that there will be a body that can invite international peacekeepers, probably Arab-led peacekeeping force, to Gaza for a limited period of time, and stabilizing the situation in the region and enabling a plan to be put forward for rapid reconstruction of Gaza, and hopefully moving toward a viable two-state solution through a regional framework. You know, it's really interesting. On the night that Israel was attacked by Iran, we saw a regional defense alliance protect Israel that was not pre-negotiated. It wasn't with deep agreements and negotiations. It happened because the interests of the region were there. And this is what we need to see happen on implementing a two-state solution, a regional determination that this will be the last Israeli-Palestinian war.
Okay, Gershon Baskin, negotiator and Middle East director with the International Communities Organization. Thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Thank you.
Gareth Brown is a journalist with The Economist based in the Middle East. Gareth, the White House expects the world is watching, but what is the state of play within the Israeli government around these proposals?
Well, I think all eyes are on one person, one individual, and that's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. He spoke today to the Knesset's Foreign Affairs and Defence Committee, you know, and made some not insubstantive remarks. He said that there were gaps between, you know, the Israeli position on this ceasefire and what Biden said in his speech just a few days ago. But he did hint that, you know, he was most willing to kind of implement stage one of this ceasefire, which would probably bring a pause in fighting for about 4 to 6 weeks, he said. But anything beyond that would prevent Israel from achieving its objectives in this war, which is fundamentally, you know, dismantling Hamas's capabilities and also its ability to govern in the Gaza Strip. So we have to differentiate between the noise being made in public speeches by the likes of Netanyahu and the fact that, you know, as your previous guest Gershon said there, this is probably closer than we've been, you know, in 8 months of war to a ceasefire. Whether this ceasefire develops into the second and third stage, I think, is a completely different question and something which we can debate in the future. But for now, all the pressure seems to be on getting Israel to agree to the first stage.
But with both his finance minister and his national security minister threatening to quit and opposed to striking any deal before Hamas was destroyed, how significant are those threats from those ministers?
It is significant. I mean, those are his two, you know, key coalition partners. But this is not the first time they've threatened to leave the coalition over various things, whether it was the war in Gaza or other issues. And I think it's worth, you know, bearing in mind that those two individuals, you know, they're unlikely to be in any future as a government. If the Israelis, if these are not parties, these are not individuals going to do government. So, yes, they can threaten to blow it up, blow the government. But they have a lot to gain by staying in government with him and keeping their grips on.
Okay, Gareth Brown of The Economist in the Middle East. Thank you very much for joining us on Drive Time this evening. Apologies for the slight dip in the line there. Back in a moment.